It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Good morning, Citizen Lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, I'm in pretty good shape because, fortunately, we had a volunteer handle both the Borough Assembly and the school board meetings this week. So I wasn't, particularly the Assembly meeting, which was a very lengthy one.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So I wasn't...
Almost up to the deadline.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, well, let us begin this process where there is so much. Go for it.
I can recap the borough assembly meeting because I was there. It started off at 6 o'clock. It was kind of a thin bench because AML is going on. Mike, the Alaska Municipal League is all meeting in Juneau this week, and both the mayor, the manager, assembly members Ted Leonard and Jesse Sumner were all in Juneau.
Wow.
Both Ted Leonard and Jesse Sumner called in.
Okay.
And stayed for the bulk of the meeting. Actually, Mr. Sumner participated quite a bit. But let's start it out. They had three reports, which is pretty unusual for starting off. They started off with a Matsu library report, Mike, and it was really done really well by the librarians, just kind of a report out to the assembly how important our libraries are and also how they've changed. You know, they've always been sort of the center of our communities, but now they're very valued in disaster response, and they're really stepping up to the whole providing lots of internet. You know, it's not just story time there anymore. And it was kind of a report out on not only their programs, but where they're trying. But we have some aging libraries that at some point are going to have to be addressed, the one in Big Lake and the one in Willow that they're trying to rebuild, that they've started a fund on to try to rebuild that library that, you know, are becoming, as those buildings get older and older, they get more expensive to keep up and they don't keep up with the communities. And so it was just kind of that. Not a lot of questions on it. They did have a good attachment to the borough agenda on the website, so people are interested about that and you know, what kind of funding they get and what kind of services they have. It's all available for people to do. So yay for librarians.
Okay.
They didn't have a report from the school district nor any of the cities. I'm assuming that both those city managers were in Juneau for AML, so they were not there. They had a short report from the Matsu Visitors and Matsu Convention and Visitors Bureau by Bonnie Quill, who you know, talked about what they're doing and also kind of wanted to correct the record on what the future is for the Matsu Visitors and Convention Bureau and about their, you know, the new visitor centers that they want to open and that sort of thing. And so it was a good report. Also, you know, we streamed it, so if people are interested in that, it'll you'll have that up soon. They talked about, they had a really good, presentation about air quality, which we talk about a lot, Mike.
This was primarily focused around the Butte situation.
The Butte area, yeah. Right. And it's on the agenda for next meeting. So Ted Ellison, I guess it is. He's I'm going to mispronounce on this spell. It's E-I-S-C-H-E-I-D. He is sort of the temporary planning director right now. He's a science teacher, Mike, and boy, did he give a good presentation on air quality, one of the best that I've heard. And we've heard a lot about this issue. There's been a lot of misinformation about the borough trying to take away people's wood stoves and the evil EPA and all that other stuff. And he really, you know, set the record straight on, you know, what they wanted to do. And, you know, basically it just comes down to it's not going to ask people to not burn. It is going to ask them to delay outdoor burns when the air quality is at a certain level. Averages about 2 to 4 days a year. In fact, we haven't had that much inversion this year, so we haven't had one of those days. And, you know, they basically just want to protect the residents' way of life out there, and that people, there's about one, I can't remember the amount of people, but there's a fair amount of people in Alaska now that have asthma, and particularly at the grade school, a lot of little kiddos that have asthma, so that's part of addressing this. But again, this proposal or the information is online. There was a couple of really well-spoken people that came up and testified about it, who were Butte residents who felt very informed. One was an ex, had worked at the Palmer Prison for a long, long time and had seen the effects of, you know, bad air, and was also a school nurse. She spoke very eloquently to the issue. So it will be on the agenda next week, and so we'll see how that goes. But it was good to see some positive, good science put out there about the air quality. They also had Eric, help me with his last name, at the borough with the IT department.
Eric Wyatt?
Yeah, Eric Wyatt gave a really good report also on where they were on the cyber attack, what had happened, where they were, what it had where they had pretty much things had have gotten back to normal, but you know, it is a huge threat going forward. They are working with other cities, other municipalities, in sharing information to kind of keep them all safe, so to speak. So good presentation on that, got them up to date, told them where the funding was on it. You know, they continue to they've spent the bulk of what they think the money is going to be, but he's going to have a budget this year, and part of it is going to be an increase to protect the borough from these types of threats going forward. So kind of a heads up, I think, was on that. They also had someone come who gave a report, the outside auditor, who gave a report on the what they call their CAFR report, which is sort of the auditing that they're required to do by state and federal government on their accounting. I thought she gave CAFR reports can kind of be have your eyes glazed over, you know, kind of the bean counting reports. But I thought she did a really, really good job. Assemblyman George McKee got a little animated over one of the entries he didn't agree with, which made for some interesting exchange and a little heated exchange at the table there. But I thought she did a really good job explaining things, and the state of the budget is good in Mat-Su Borough, and they actually ended up with a reserve of about $5 million last year, which was good to have because they had to front a lot of money with the cyber attack, and so we'll see how it shakes out this year. But that CAFR report is online if you want to read it. I think it's some 200 pages.
Wow.
But there are some summary pages, so if people are interested in that, it is pretty transparent right there and for people to read. So a little bit of talk from the clerk, just setting some dates for the budget. There was an interesting conversation from, Assemblyman McKee, who wanted to delay the discussion of any budget because of the unrest of what's going to happen with funding from the state. I was a little dismayed that no one reminded Mr. McKee that this school district does their budget every year not knowing what two bodies are going to fund them with.
Right.
So the fact that the borough's in a little untenable position more than normal is kind of par for the course, the way the budgets are set.
And, so was his suggestion handled how?
They left the calendar the way it was, as the clerk has set it out. And whether it'll come back again when Mr. Halter's there or not, I don't know. But there was just discussion about the budget in general. And
To that point, with all of those people down at AML and some participating from Juneau, was there any commentary or discussion about people's views of what was happening in Juneau?
The only one really came, well, a couple of, I guess, former House member Lynn Gaddis is running Governor Dunleavy's office here in Mat-Su. She did come as a person to be heard for a few minutes and just let people know she was running. She was the eyes and ears of the Dunleavy administration going forward, and kind of repeated his principles for building the budget, and said that she would be coming to assembly meetings, that sort of thing. At the very end of the meeting, Assemblyman Jesse Sumner spoke up about his support for the Dunleavy budget, and that he didn't know why it was such a hard concept for people to start paying for what they used, and that these budgets were...
So he was in support of taxes, or...?
Not taxes.
How did he propose people pay?
Well, he didn't elaborate. He just wanted to let people know that he was in support of the budget and the governor.
So, okay.
I do see that he's been appointed to some board as well. Heard that yesterday, and I'm not quite sure which one that is, but we'll follow up on that. So that was pretty much about. There was some angst and some hand-wringing over the governor's budget, but, you know, there's so much unknown at this time, not as much as maybe you would think about that was said. There are a couple other interesting things on the agenda. One, I think this was one of the nicer moments I've had covering the assembly. As you recall, Mike, we've heard a lot of testimony from some residents in the Willowa area, just outside the city of Wasilla,
right,
that has been coming to the assembly for a year now, talking about their problems in their neighborhood with some pretty bad actors as their neighbors. People were afraid to go out of their house. There was a lot of trash. It's an older subdivision that is just very small, half-acre lots, pretty much on top of each other. And this is such a great example of people getting together and rising up over their problems in their neighborhood. And this young man who spoke oftentimes for the community, Nico Fernandez, I believe his name is, has kind of followed this through. They've done several things. They've formed a neighborhood watch. They leaned on the borough to help them move the trash away. They organized a group of active homeowners that went in and cleaned up yards that weren't even theirs because they recognized that some people either wouldn't do it or couldn't do it. They've just really cleaned up their neighborhoods. And they went on to, with some help from the Wasilla Rotary, who were there, to form a nonprofit by the name of FISH, Families for Improvement for Health. And so they are a nonprofit now with the help of that, which will, you know, let them get some funding. They've gotten some funding from the Matsu Health Foundation and the Sunrise Rotary to set up this nonprofit. And they were there to ask the borough to sell them a lot, again, these half-acre lots that was appraised at about $12,000 that would create pretty much the only green space in that entire subdivision of hundreds. I don't know how many lots are in that subdivision that they wanted to put a park on because they have no open space, no parks, nothing for kids to do. And they want to put a playground there. And so they wanted permission to buy it from the borough at less than market value, which is in this case $10. And they would put a park there. Huge amount of support there. The Wasilla Rotary, Dan Kennedy, who is sort of, and his wife, who are the sort of leaders of that really pretty powerful Wasilla Rotary group, was there to support them. They have it pretty planned out. It was pretty heartening when this young man said that he had lived in this Wasilla neighborhood for 15 years, and this was the first year that he had had trick-or-treaters and that his own children had been able to trick-or-treat, and that one house had 60 trick-or-treaters.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That it has just phenomenally changed this neighborhood. And so I hope they get some due credit for it because they've done an amazing job. They had their board members there, and it really is a reflection on the community. You know, a single mom's on their board. A couple of two or three small business owners, someone who's been in drug rehab programming. It's just it's a reflection on their community and people that he said started out as neighbors, that they didn't talk to each other, that became friendly, and now they're more than neighbors, they're friends in
so,
the neighborhood.
So, really amazing story.
The first times I,
of course, heard their presentations had to deal with considerable difficulty in the neighborhood. And I'm not sure, did that begin in, roughly 2 years ago? Somewhere.
He said a year he started.
About a year. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in that time frame, it sounds as if they have managed to bring attention enough through Neighborhood Watch, et cetera, to actually see the neighborhood no longer be as it had been originally, a very dangerous place for kids to be and people to be.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so 2 points about that. Kudos to Assemblyman Ted Leonard, who wasn't there. He did speak up in support of it. But, you know, as soon as they came, Ted Leonard spent his next Saturday going around the neighborhood with this young gentleman. And he's been very instrumental in helping them as far as, getting the borough to enforce their own laws, actually, you know, by their, getting people to clean up their property and stuff that's in violation of health and safety.
Right.
And I think they did provide at one point a couple of dumpsters, but then the people also pitched in to get some more dumpsters themselves out of their own pockets. So it really is a good success story. I guess the other point I would make is, you know, the problems that came into that community of neighborhoods is gone now, or it's getting absolutely being moved, but the problem doesn't go away. It just goes to another neighborhood. So we need to be cognizant of that. But for this neighborhood anyway,
what's a model of what could be done? Yeah.
Yeah. And the turnaround for the borough is the investment. Well, some people might say we shouldn't give our land away. That's such a good purpose to give land away for the government, because the data all shows that if you have a park in your neighborhood, your property values go up. And that was
was there any opposition to the proposal?
There wasn't anybody who was there to speak in opposition. I did read through the packet, and there were a couple of people that weighed in with concerns that it would turn into a place that where the people with drug problems and bad actors would kind of have a place to gather. But that, you know, it seems pretty unlikely, because there's no woods. It's all flat. That's part of the problem with the subdivision. It's totally treeless. But I think, you know, my philosophy anyway, Mike, is if you bring the good in, the bad will just stay out. So with proper lighting and good usage, I mean, that data shows over and over that doesn't happen. But just nothing that was there, nobody was there. There was actually a couple people that came that didn't really even know the particular neighborhood, but had been following the issue and was in support of it, which is always good to see that it didn't affect them. They didn't have property, but they thought the idea of it was really good. So, good win-win. Those are the type of stories, Mike, that make you keep going to the assembly.
Right, right. So it was a lengthy meeting, and any other pieces
other
that we missed? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there was a couple things punted down the road. There was quite a discussion on waiving fees for driveway permits that happened prior to 2012. The planning department has recognized that there's probably, they don't know, but somewhere in thousands of driveway permits that were never filed on. They're thinking of waiving the permit just to find out where they are, honestly, and to get them mapped out. But there was some pushback from actually Jesse Sumner on this, and it got a little convoluted. And luckily, I think it was part due to the fact that he was calling in, which is always problematic. And so they delayed that to, I think, March 6th or the next meeting, either one. And then the rates, the scheduling fee, they've been going back and forth on passing their this year's rates and fees. And again, he wanted to increase those, and that got a little confusing as well. And so that got kicked down the road too. So, that was kind of the big things on the agenda, Mike. It just took a long time. But next week, there's going to be not only the air quality, which could just, you know, we've seen these big issues just go through really quickly. But there are some introductions that could be really interesting. So stay tuned for the next chapter.
Right. So we don't really have enough time to do, we need to look back at what happened at the school board meeting. But I did want to make sure that people were aware about the legislative town hall meeting that's coming up on this Saturday, February 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. to noon. It's going to be over at the Front Terrace Charter School, which is at 2315 North Seward Meridian Parkway. And it's an opportunity to let Matsu legislators know what's on your mind. It's free. And understanding and read, I've seen quite a bit of notice about this, suggesting there's going to be quite a crowd there.
I hope so. Yeah, there's a lot for people to weigh in on. So I hope people have been keeping up. There's been pretty hard to escape the news on it. And I often think sometimes those town halls just get the same people saying the same things, and you need to take your grumbling where it can be heard. And if you can't go, in some case, I certainly hope somebody Facebook lives it and that you contact your legislator to find out. We can talk a little bit more about that, too, tomorrow night.
Right, Antonio Valley Edition. This is I have the feeling, given the great interest in the budget proposals the governor has made and the variety of impacts here in the Valley as well as elsewhere, this may be a record crowd that turns out that won't have the usual suspects. You know, very often people go because they're comfortable going, et cetera, and occasionally you'll see some new faces. But I'm going to believe there's a great chance of a lot of new faces, people who have not appeared in meetings of this sort, who 10 to noon might be too short a time.
Yeah, we'll see. If they, kind of control the clock, it should be okay. But, yeah, it'll be a very interesting thing. I'm hoping to be there as well, Mike.
Sure, yeah.
Before we sit down, I do want to say a few minutes about the event last night that happened in Palmer, that the Palmer Foundation.
Community Foundation, right.
Hosted, right? It was continuing the conversation that was started last month on how to make Palmer, actually Matsu, more livable. But this was kind of a concentrated Palmer group, and they hosted a potluck last night, and there was about 30 people that showed up,
right?
Which was great. And they broke out, had a general discussion, and then they broke out in groups and came up with some priorities and some leaders that want to lead those priorities. So it was a very successful event, I thought, and good for the Palmer Foundation for hosting that. Again, not telling people what to do, but giving them the opportunity to meet together and decide how to make Palmer, which is a good city, a great city. So really well done, Palmer Foundation.
Okay. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for calling in today, and we'll look forward to next week. In the meantime, Valley Edition tomorrow to expand our view about all these kinds of things.
Sounds good, Mike.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.